The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
The Fan. Na 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 na. Chuck and Chernoff. Na 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 na. Chuck and Chernoff. It's 3 o'clock on the dot. You know what that means. It's time for Matt Letta and the King. Yeah. Na 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 na. Chuck and Chernoff. Na 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 na. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Driving home Atlanta is a traffic jam, but we got Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Na 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 na. Chuck and Chernoff. Na 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 na. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Yeah. Come on.
Chuck and Chernoff as we crank it up in our 3 o'clock hour. First, let me say thank you to each and every one of you who make this an appointment each and every day to listen to some or all of this radio show. It's greatly appreciated, whether it's live or on the podcast, on the Fan app. There are lots of different ways to consume it, and we want to say thank you to each and every one of you. Our 3 o'clock hour is presented by This Stuff Matters, helping you make the most out of what matters most. Like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast at thisstuffmatters.net. Let's start the 3 o'clock hour by saying hello to Charles.
Hey, Matt.
Hi, Chuck.
Matthew.
What?
My sweet boy.
Oh, that's very nice of you, Chuck. What can I do for you?
Do you love me?
Of course I love you.
Yay. Love you. Thank you.
A lot of love in the air on a Tuesday.
My sweet boy.
As we get you ready for the Braves and the Astros game 2 tonight from Minute Maid and Ron Thingy Park there.
It's all that.
What is it?
It's all that.
It's all that. The Braves will be looking to win the series tonight. They beat the Astros 6-1 last night in their first game back since winning the championship there almost 3 years ago. I told you yesterday it had been 895 days since the Braves clinched the World Series back on November 2nd, 2021. And that night it was a 7-0 win. Last night, 6-1, and the Braves improved to 10-5 on the young season, 3-1 on their current road trip. And Charles, I'll say this. You could see some rust on Darius Vines early, and I asked Glavin about this yesterday, having 11 days off. But I thought when he settled in to get 4 2/3, one-run ball, I think the Braves have to be thrilled with that.
Really do, and it's the profile of the spot that they're already to that. Could be a Gwinnett Express thing, could be a fatigue thing, could be a whatever, could be a day game after a night game, but they're there early in April, which we talked about after only two turns to the rotation. This is huge. They would like to have gotten it from Alan Winans. That was kind of big in the moment, like early, and he didn't get out of it, and Darius Fiennes did. Good movement, too, like really gutsy pitches in some tough spots.
Well, the first inning, he had to battle a little bit, but he got a double play off the bat of Yordan Alvarez, which every time that guy comes up, I think he's going to get a hit. Between him and Altuve,
they look like they're playing a video game, and you think they're always going to get on base, but he did a good job navigating once Altuve was on base. And I also want to mention the bullpen. It's been rocky, right? You're not always going to be perfect. I still think this bullpen's one of the best in baseball depth-wise.
Last night, Aaron Bummer, Pierce Johnson, A.J. Minter, and Jesse Chavez, they combined for 5 1/3 scoreless ball. They weren't really challenged a ton, although A.J. at one point with the game still in doubt. Remember, that's a 2-1 game. Going to the ninth, the bullpen did a good job of keeping themselves out of hot water. And here's how you know the difference in the two teams right now. Houston is finding ways to do dumb things to help the opponent. Like right after they get a 1-0 lead in the second inning, the Braves are gifted 2 runs on a bad throw by Jeremy Peña, and then Ozzie Albies gets hit on the foot with the bases loaded. Those are the only 2 runs until the ninth inning.
Yeah, they're a little bit of a disaster of a team that's played in 7 straight ALCS. We said yesterday they can still mash, and they didn't yesterday. They can still mash, but the starting rotation, there are guys that aren't supposed to be in the bigs, much less getting starts, and the bullpen's a wreck. And you even saw that last night with Hader.
The Hader thing, the Braves pummeled them. I mean, Josh Hader, they unloaded on Josh Hader. It was line drive after line drive from a 2-1 game that starts with a walk, wild pitch, 4 straight singles, and the Braves open it up to 4-1. One of those hits, Marcell Ozuna, who extends his hitting streak to 14 games. I thought Mark Bowman had the line of the day on Twitter that he wants to see Ozuna match Dan Uggla's 33-game hit streak. You couldn't find two more wild swingers that should never have long hitting streaks, and the way the Big Bear is going, maybe he will. And then the Braves put it out of reach when Michael Harris beat out a potential double play, and all of a sudden it was 6-1, and the thing was done. Two guys that I want to spend some time talking about today. It was great to see Austin Riley, who has gotten the bat going more and more, but last night I thought was his best night of the season. A 3-for-5 night, a double, single, and RBI. And don't look now, Ronald's close. Like, the last 4 games, he's really starting to look like Ronald. He was 2-for-4 again last night with a double and a walk and a run scored. Chuck, the scary thing, and I'm going to talk more about this in a few minutes, is I don't think the offense is close to what it can be as far as some of the hot streaks we've seen in these bats before, and they're still leading the league in run scored.
Absolutely agree with you that they're not smooth. They're not just like, you know, popping. It's just we know what it looks like when it's right, and they're so good that it can be a little bit of misfire, and they're still putting up 6 runs on the road against a really good team, I believe, eventually is what the Astros will be. And on those that line, Matt, I want to talk about, because Darius Fiennes, we talked about him, and correctly so, given the situation, the kid showed up, and he made it through. Good for him. He didn't qualify for the win. Like, he didn't stay in the game even 5 innings. I want to kudos the bullpen right here, because I've looked at the bullpen the first 2 weeks, and I'm like, that was another bomb. And that was another bomb. And they didn't do that yesterday on the road against a really good offense. Shut him down for 5 innings.
I think Snit wanted to give Vines every chance, but when he couldn't get Altuve, and then Yordan's coming up, he's like, I'm going to go get Aaron Bummer. That's the beauty of having multiple lefties, and they used him in that spot. So tonight, Ronaldo Lopez against Hunter Brown of the Astros. Now, in the last 2 starts, Hunter Brown has pitched a total of 3 2/3 for Houston. He's given up 19 hits. He's given up 14 runs and 5 walks. So we'll see if the Braves can add to some of the pain early on tonight. It's not often in the 3 o'clock segment, Chuck, I give away stuff. I want to give back. But I've got a couple of passes that I want to give away to you guys for our latest installment of Lunch with a Legend, presented by First Horizon Bank. I'll be hosting with Dale Murphy Thursday at Hobnob and Vinings. So it's going to be a Q&A. I'll be talking to Murph. The audience gets a chance to ask questions. If you'd like to join us Thursday, Lunch with a Legend, presented by First Horizon Bank, live at Hobnob in Vinings. Caller 7. Give you a pair of these passes at 404-231-1680. So the NBA in-season, the NBA play-in tournament begins tonight, couple of Western Conference games. You get the Lakers and the Pelicans at 7:30. Then you get the Warriors and Kings at 10 o'clock. And as a little side note, Hawks fans should be rooting for the Kings. If they make the playoffs, the Hawks get their draft pick. So just a little extra to root for Sacramento. I checked some prices on the Game Time app. Get in price tonight for Warriors Kings to tell you how excited Sacramento is. $212 is the get in Sacramento.
Good for them.
Compared to Lakers Pelicans, $39. We'll get you in the door in New Orleans. Heat 76ers, you can get in for $50 in Philly tomorrow night. And then Hawks Bulls in Chicago tomorrow night, $58. Get in price. Again, you can see all those on the Game Time app. But you can get into State Farm Arena for $5 tomorrow.
Yeah, but the game's not there. Like, you can get in, but DeJounte and Trey won't be there.
Oh. Well, the Hawks are hosting a play-in watch
party. No. The Hawks front office is. Not the Hawks. The Hawks are in a different city.
All right. The Atlanta Hawks Basketball Club, LLC.
Yes.
Is hosting a play-in watch party, and our intern, Jack, our Cub reporter, will be there to cover the event, to give us the sights and sounds, audio and video, and we'll have reaction on Thursday. You can be there for only $5, and then the price of parking, and you have to pay for food, and then you have to stick your head up and watch on the big screen. So that's what's happening tomorrow.
Yeah, the wrestlers have invited you over, like, to watch on the big screen, and they're charging you. So, yeah. Like, Matt, if you invite everybody, you've done this before. Hey, everybody, come over to Matt's house. We'll watch on the 100-inch. You didn't ask for a fiver at the door.
What a nice idea, though.
And wrestler has more money. Like, he really doesn't need it. Like, just charge him for the food when they get in, you know?
You ever do that thing where the friend is like, hey, I'll Venmo you? You're like, you're not Venmoing me for the grub I laid out. Wrestler wants your Venmo.
Isn't there, I don't know, was it the Braves parade? There are all kinds of events now. This is kind of normal, so they can at least, like, have an idea about the crowd. Tickets are free, but you have to print it. Like, do something if you want to keep track, even. $5, really?
Yeah, well, I agree. One more quick note here as we close in on the NFL draft. We're now just 9 days away. Reminder, we'll be at Harris Cherokee in the Caesar Sportsbook hosting our draft spectacular.
Oh, they don't want to see me coming anymore. They know about my parlay. That part of that facial recognition stuff now, when I walk in, they're like, all right, he's on the property.
I'm going to guess they put you inside of a big square. In that facial recognition.
Steer him away from the window. We cannot get any more of his action.
It's like Portnoy is walking in the sports book just taking our money. So the NFL strength of schedule numbers were released a little while ago, and I saw Warren Sharp did the breakdown of these. Chuck, I'm going to give you 5-1. Easiest schedules in the league based just on strength of schedule from a year ago. The Saints will have the 5th easiest schedule. The Jets, the 4th easiest. The Bears, the 3rd easiest. The Chargers 2nd, and your Atlanta Falcons, on paper, have the easiest schedule in the National Football League. Now, that should scare all Falcon fans. Kirk Cousins is supposed to be the difference in not losing the way they did last year to Bryce Young, or not losing to Sam Howell at home, or Joshua Dobbs, or losing to Will Levis. That should be the difference. But here's the way I kind of did the math on this. The Falcons have 7 games that I look at, and I'm like, you got to take care of business here. Panthers twice. Raiders, Giants, Commanders, Vikings, Broncos. I'm going to do the math and tell you, you better go 5-2 in that 7.
How many either rookie or second year or just unstable, not consistently productive situations at QB? Like, put that under whatever, like Josh Dobbs, that was not a stable, productive situation, and he looked like he was a Pro Bowler that day. I always look at the quarterbacks. You do that. Everybody, who's the quarterback? So how many rookies do we see? I don't know. Bryce Young, that team was as bad as I've seen an NFL team look in a long time. Bryce Young beat them.
Yep. That's the point. So in the next 10 games, if you can go 5-2 in those 7 winnables, now that next 10 is the tricky part. You have to play Tampa twice and New Orleans twice. And as much as they were both just okay, they were better than the Falcons and they had winning records. Plus the Chiefs, Eagles, Cowboys, and Steelers all are playoff teams. And then the Chargers and Seahawks have new coaches, but they won't be cakewalks at all. If you can go 5-5 against that group, that'll get you to the 10 wins it's going to take to win the division and make it back to the playoffs. Do I have faith that's going to happen? Not necessarily. Like, if I'm leaning towards right now, if somebody held that proverbial gun to my head and said, you have to give me a prediction right now, it would take a little pushing, but I might get you to 9. There's a world where 8-9 is what the Falcons are looking at next year because the defense was what the defense is. Kirk Cousins doesn't win a ton of games. His numbers look great, and we're all back here next year going, now what? What do we do now?
Ahead of the draft and where they could add a piece. And then in a smaller, like, it's not a remote chance, but it happens. August, a veteran gets angry and trade me. I'm not showing up. I got to get out of town right now. Every August, there's a few veterans that, like, I ain't showing up. And so some of those guys will be available.
We'll find out. I know what's available right now, our worst idea.
Get ready for Chuck and Chernoff's Worst Idea.
We'll take your worst idea answers at the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Now, we told you that Kirk Cousins was giving off dad vibes, according to one of his teammates in the lunch line up at Flowery Branch. He said it was the third weekend, and he says his teammate said, Kirk, I feel like you're giving up serious dad vibes, which Kirk Cousins does.
Didn't he have a dad bod photo as well?
He doesn't have a dad bod. Kirk Cousins is in great shape. I'll give that dude credit. I think he's got abs and the whole nine. The Kirko Cousins on the Kirko chains that came out on the plane that one. I like Kirk's put together. But what or who gives off dad vibes? Who or what when you think dad vibes? Because here's what I would tell you. Anytime you see somebody wearing a TV show on their shirt, Seinfeld, Central Perk, right? Something like that, MASH, you kind of know that's a dad who grabbed the shirt at Kohl's. And it was on the $15 aisle, and there's a lot. Coca-Cola is on the front of the shirt. That would just give off dad vibes. Or the other one, Chuck, and this is my favorite. If you have a small portable cooler, that's dad vibes. You carry that with you to the neighbors or to the pool, that's dad vibes.
I hate to say it, the all-white New Balance.
Trying too hard?
The all-white shoes within the white N on it.
The newbies.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think they'll sell them if you're under 40. You don't qualify yet. It's like AARP. You can't get the discount.
My 17-year-old loves New Balances.
That's fine. Those are good shoes, but the ice white with the white N on it, those are old people.
Runs around with the newbies. Look,
by the way, I've got two pair, so.
Yeah. Brian Gephardt, who or what gives off dad vibes?
Talking about World War II while drinking bourbon.
That's like grandpa vibes, though, right?
Yeah, dad, grandpa vibes. But you know you're full dad if that's what you're doing.
All right. Colin Madden?
Falling asleep in the recliner.
God, I love falling asleep on the couch. There's something so great. And there are so many great times to nap, too. I mean, it could be Sunday golf. It could be, you know, late night to Sports Center. There's just some wonderful fall asleep moments. So we'll ask you guys to send your answers to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Who or what?
DT.
Oh, I'm sorry, DT. I apologize. Derek Thomas.
Apparently Chuck really wants me to give an answer. Oh. Yeah, I had the triangle offense, sacrifice bunts, and 21 personnel.
Okay, just the lingo. I like it. Now I'll tell you can send your answers to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Peter Moylan from Bally Sports will join us coming up here in 15 minutes.
Must be an elephant in here somewhere.
There he is. Do you think we can finally get to the... Do we ever clear that up with him?
No, we need to.
We need the answers because he claims it was a chair movement, not a poot.
So maybe we'll get to the bottom of that with Peter. Coming up next, the Braves have done this without much of anything from three bright, shining stars. No, stars.
Can't pull his pants down.
Oh, the stars!
And the doctor's having to... You know.
You don't want Dr. Longfinger in that situation.
I'll share the bright shining stars with you next. Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio, and thank you guys for spending your time with us, whether you're listening on FM at 93.7 or AM at 680. And remember, always have that app available. Download it and tap to listen on the 680 The Fan mobile. At Braves and Astros tonight when we're done here on The Fan. 680 Game Day will get the programming started. Then the Ford leadoff show before first pitch. Tonight at 8:10 when Ronaldo Lopez gets his third start with the Bravos. This hour of Chuck and Chernoff is presented by This Stuff Matters, helping you make the most out of what matters most. Like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast at thisstuffmatters.net. Now, the Braves did not leave the yard last night, which means they're due for a couple of long balls tonight. And all season, when the Braves hit a home run, you'll score an instant round-trip or discount on a set of Goodyear or Cooper tires the next day only at Tire Discounters. Plus, you'll get a free alignment and a free oil change when you get your tire purchase. It's an awesome deal. The more home runs the Braves hit, the bigger the deals at Tire Discounters. Okay. Learn more at tireddiscounters.com/Braves. Peter Moylan will join us coming up in a couple of moments. Highly entertaining. Always has some good takes on the Braves. We'll ask him about the bullpen, get his thoughts on the Braves offense, trying to fill Spencer Strider's spot and more with Peter in a moment. But Chuck,
I had my signing bonus stolen out of my hotel room at the Radisson.
Don't stay at the Radisson.
No one listens to me either.
Okay. All right. Okay. We'll get to Peter in a moment. The Braves are off to a 10-5 start. It's a very good record, and they've done it largely without much good starting pitching. Some shaky bullpen work, and some of their all-star level players have not gotten going yet, right? And they're not struggling. It's not like Ronald Acuna or Austin Riley are just hitting 071. They're doing fine. But to this point in the season, we have yet to see Acuna look like Ronnie, and we're spoiled when we say that. We've yet to see Austin Riley look like Austin, and he's starting to get there, and we haven't seen Sean Murphy at all because he hurt the oblique in the opener. But if I would have said, Chuck, 15 games into the season, Acuna, Riley, and Murphy would combine to hit two home runs through 15 games, and combined, they would have 15 RBIs. I think you'd say, well, Braves are probably 7-8, or they're off to a slow start, or something's wrong. Yet they're 10-5, averaging 6.5 runs a game. And again, Ronnie's numbers aren't bad. He's hitting .288. He has no homers, which is weird, and only 5 RBI. But his last four games, he's 7-16 with a couple of doubles, 3 walks and 3 stolen bases and 3 runs scored. And Riley, he's on a 9-game hit streak. And last night, he really looked like Austin. But you know what I mean. We have yet to see them get on their heaters, and this team is already 10-5. That should be a scary thought to the rest of baseball.
Yeah, I was trying to word it correctly earlier in the program because they've sort of mashed or bashed or run now their way to some offensive production, and they're so outrageously talented that they don't look smooth and maxed out and on pace for 305 home runs. Like, they don't look like that yet, but they're still making it work. And, I mean, my gosh, 10-5, and I even still think about some of those losses and go, you know, the White Sox. There were chances then. But it's just it's as impressive and deep a collection of established major league guys. This isn't like O'Neill, Cruz, or Ellie that we're still waiting to like really prove it. Austin Riley's not proven anything. Orlando Arcia's not proven anything. This is the deepest lineup of proven major league talent in the bigs.
Well, it's funny you say that because and we're going to see some of these things self-correct too. But 15 games is a very small sample. But the Braves have had great starts from Orlando Arcia, Jared Kelnick, Ozzy, Michael Harrison, especially Marcell Ozuna. So as those guys might cool off, you'll see Ronnie get even hotter, Riley get even hotter, Olsen, we know when Olsen goes on his tear, what that can look like. The depth in the lineup, it's either somebody or some buddies that will eventually get you when you have to face them 4 or 5 times. But one number for a team that is spoiled in a lot of areas, the catching duo. And this has been largely true for about 5 or 6 years of all different duos, right? Of McCann and Suzuki, or Flowers and McCann, Darnell and now Murphy. Braves catchers, because Murphy's been hurt, Darnell and some Chadwick Trump have combined to hit under 200 with no home runs and 7 RBIs, and the Braves are 10-5. Like, they're going to get an all-star player back in Sean Murphy. Ronnie's got MVP qualities every day he's on the field, and Austin Riley is going to go on one of those 2-week like binges where you're like, oh, God, nobody can get him out, and he's starting to get there. I don't know what you do. And I know the Dodgers get all the praise for the top of their lineup. There's no comparison. Dodgers in the last 10 games are 4-6. They're giving up nearly 5 runs a game because they can't mash like the Braves can mash. That's the difference. One guy who knows about how well the Braves mash and how well they can pitch at times, too. He is a friend of the show, listener to the show, all-around great guy, and a swell dresser. He's Peter Moylan. You watch him on Bally Sports. He's kind enough to join Chuck and Chernoff on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Mr. Moylan, how are you?
I'm a swell dresser. How do you think I am? I'm wonderful.
I mean, I see the fits. I see what's going on TV. You're working hard with the outfits. I see what's happening.
I am. I really appreciate that you said working hard instead of trying hard. Let me tell you, there's been some outfits where I've second guessed my wife coming into it, and I feel pretty good on the way out.
You've done well. Peter, let's start with the bullpen for the Braves. I still think this one, it's all said and done, will be the deepest and the best bullpen in baseball. But there's been some hiccups, which is going to happen along the way. But for Snit, last night's an example, right? I know he wanted to get Darius Vines through the fifth. But because he has so many lefties, he's like, all right, Aaron Bummer, you go deal with Yordan. Later in the game, I can go to AJ. If I want, I can go to Matzik. I've got Dylan Lee as well. That's all from the left side, and then we know what they have on the right side. Like, the depth of this thing, I don't remember it being this deep with so many options for Snit.
Well, that was part of the – obviously, that was one of the focuses that Alex had in the offseason, was to lock down our bullpen. But even the way that it's been designed to this point with four lefties, four righties, it's just perfect. The balance that it has. Rysel we've hardly seen, and when we do see him, he's been pretty good. Dylan Lee has been kind of the mop-up guy with Jesse Chavez, and when you've got those two guys to mop up, options are obviously endless.
Talk about the Houston offense and attacking them, because going into the series, I was like, folks, that starting rotation's been a pinata, the bullpen's wrecked, all of this is going on, but they can still mash. And then I saw our bullpen go almost five innings last night, and that was welcome after how they've been pitching.
Yeah, that's the thing about being in the bullpen. I mentioned it with Aaron Bummer. When you've got a guy like Bummer who's going to rely on movement and contact, you're going to have to deal with a little bit of traffic, and you're going to have to deal with a few guys on base. But with the amount of ground balls that he's get, you very rarely see him get into trouble. And it's everybody in that bullpen has something that they can go to at any particular time to get you out. And it doesn't have to be anything that's going to jump off the page at you. Like Jesse Chavez has the ability to just dot his pitches on each corner, and he does it flawlessly. And when he doesn't do it is when he gets in trouble. You've got Bummer, who's got that sinker-slider combination that's just disgusting. You've got Iglesias that can get lefties or righties out. You've got Minter that seems to have incorporated that changeup a little bit more this year. So there is each guy, like the Rays, when the Rays were at their best, they have that one thing that you can rely on at any time to go to get somebody out. And not a lot of bullpens can say that.
Peter Moylan with Chuck and Chernoff on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. We were just going down some of the options and the depth in the Braves lineup, and we know it's sort of an embarrassment of riches that they're averaging 6.5 runs a game. And to this point, Ronald Acuna hasn't homered yet. And Austin Riley's only had a couple of bombs. And Sean Murphy's been out essentially for everything but an at-bat to start the year. It speaks to, like, Arcia. And Kelnick's off to the good start that he's off to. And Ozuna's on this tear that, as a pitcher, Peter, tell me how you would navigate it.
I wouldn't. Quite simply, I wouldn't be in there long enough to try and navigate this whole lineup. But if you are looking at it from the other side, you have to attack the bottom of the lineup. And then you see Orlando hitting 350, and you see Kelnick getting off the start that he has. You almost... It's a relief to get to the top of the lineup right now. And then Ozzy's hitting 350. So, you know, you look at Ronald's OPS, it's not as impressive as it was last year. And I mentioned that when your standard is the MVP, everything's going to look a little low compared to that. And when you look at our offense last year as the standard of what this lineup can do, when they're in this little lull, they're not firing right now, let's be honest. They're not the Braves that we're used to seeing, but they're getting enough from guys up and down that lineup to have that 10-5 record, which honestly, looking at it from a fan, it doesn't feel like we've played like a 10-5 team.
So this may just be anecdotal. Like, did this ever happen to you, or what do you do with this kid now? Last week, Framber gets hurt, and they go to this guy who'd never pitched before, Blair Henley. Hey, get to Houston. You're making your major league debut. He's like, when? Tonight. He faces 9 guys. He only gets one of them out. He hits a guy, couple of walks, 5 hits. It's just a disaster. Where do you go from there? Like, because that's his only major league experience now.
Well, he's going to go back down to AAA and figure it out. Obviously, we had this saying or this adage, I guess you'd call it, right the way up when I was. You have to prove yourself at the minor leagues, and then you don't want to bring someone up too quickly because you don't want to see them fail on this level. You're never going to know how they recover from that. But I think that's all changed. The ability for these guys to be able to shut off whatever happened yesterday and just move on is pretty incredible. And as a reliever, I've had to do it my whole life. You have a bad outing, you're going to get in there the next day, so you've got to be able to turn it around. So I think these athletes now, these kids, they're just they're just built differently, and I don't think that's going to affect him at all. He'll go back down to AAA, have a little bit of success, and come back. Just like Jared Kelenic, you know, he's had a couple of goes at this and has failed in Seattle, and I think just like him, he's going to get comfortable and just be that player that he was all through the minor leagues.
Our friend Peter Moylan, you see him on Bally Sports doing Braves coverage. He's with Chuck and Chernoff on The Fan. Peter, for any pitcher who's gone through any type of an injury, whether you're out a month, 6 months, or a year like Spencer Strider, because I know we move on and we focus on the team and he's isolated and doing rehab and trying to come back. How lonely is it? How much do you overthink? How much do you, you know, is it frustration? Is it, like I said, just the ultimate sadness that I can't be a part of it for a guy like Strider, who is such a competitor? What is that like for somebody on the outside who's never experienced it?
It's all of those things wrapped into one. Even when you feel like you're doing the right thing and you're doing your rehab, and because a lot of the time you're doing your rehab during the day and then you'll go to the field at nighttime, so it's a long day. But even when you do show up, you're not able to contribute on the field at all. And there's only so much rah-rah you can do to try and feel like you're contributing on a nightly basis. So from that standpoint, it's so frustrating. And the only time you're ever going to get that back is when you get the chance to strap it on and go out there and compete it again. But for him, I mean, he's a pro at everything that he does. I feel like the reason he became the pitcher he is now is because of the first Tommy John that he had. He broke everything down and said, okay, I'm going to come back and be the best pitcher I can be. And he's done that. So I think giving the 6, 8, 12 months, whatever it ends up being that he has off, I think he's going to use every second of it to be even better than he was when he got hurt.
Peter, we know the Braves, and we're sort of spoiled by the run of success. We'll be judged on all things postseason, right? You got to get there, and it's a long season.
Yeah.
But let's say the Braves do it again. They win their 96 or their 100 games, whatever it is, and they get to the postseason. Strider was one of the most open about talking about what had to be different, how they had to approach the postseason. Like, there were thoughts, and we brought this up during the offseason, about tweaks to the game to try to make it more advantageous for the higher seed. How is it going to change where the Braves, the Dodgers, these teams with the week off and the better records, regain the advantage?
That's such a good question. I don't honestly know. It's almost like, how do we avoid the injuries? I don't know how to avoid injuries either, but that is a scenario that we've seen play out the last couple of times. How do you stop the hot team from getting hot in September and running away with it? You just can't. You just got to hope that nobody falls into that lull. Short of maybe shortening the gap in between for that wild card round. But again, that wild card round's become so interesting and so exciting that you don't want to make that any shorter either. So it is a problem that we've had to face the last couple of years. But if I had the answer, I wouldn't be talking to you. I'd probably be working for a big league team right now and just working out how to do that. But it's just frustrating because at the end of the year, you want the big guns. You want the guys that have done it all year. But when you play 162, it doesn't always work out like that.
So we'll end with what you just alluded to, not having an answer to the injury stuff. I read a quote to the audience from Dr. James Andrews, who said he's convinced the injuries we're seeing now starts at 14, 15, 16. Guys redlining it, guys velo and spin too early, and there's only so many bullets in that gun in the elbow. That seems like the start of it. I don't know how you stop it because nobody's going to want to take some miles off the fastball. You're going to try to impress
including
scouts.
Teams.
And, right, exactly.
Well, including teams. To go to their minor leagues and say, hey, guys, need to turn it down. Let's go. We need to sit 88 to 91 for a few weeks.
Well, and that's why, like, Darius Vines isn't a top 10 Braves prospect, right? I mean, there's a reason why Hurston Waldrip and A.J. Smith-Shawver are. So if not a solution to it, Peter, what do we do to slow down the curve on injuries?
Mm. You're talking to a guy that said 2 Tommy Johns, 3 shoulders, and 3 backs. So I don't know, clearly. But I think you're right. It's the full bore from the age of 12. It's the 6-pitch mix that your under 15 kid has. I signed throwing 84. I know it was 1960 or whatever the hell it was, but I was throwing 84 miles an hour, and I developed my arm strength once I got over here. I guess teams aren't as patient as they were back in the day. I never played baseball through high school. I played once a weekend. So there is no formula to avoid injury. It's just you just have to do all that you can, obviously, strength-wise, flexibility-wise. You hear Pedro talk. Pedro never did weights, but Pedro was 165 pounds. things change. There's going to be guys out there that are going to have to make adjustments. Otherwise, this is just going to keep happening. But at the same time, teams need to make adjustments from within.
Moylan, before we let you go, I don't think we've ever gotten to the bottom of the controversy of what happened with you in the radio booth with Ben Ingram. That moment right there, which I don't know. I heard rumors of a chair movement or Jonathan Chadwick blowing his nose or other things that happened. And our belief is, I mean, you just farted on air.
Look, if that's good, I'll take it. I don't care. You can blame me for that. I'll be the fart guy from now on. That's fine.
So you're not denying, though?
Look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys that I know every bowel movement that I have throughout the course of the game.
Wow.
And if one happened to slip out, and I apologize to everybody, and I'll accept responsibility, but I don't remember it.
Owning it.
Yeah. All right, we cracked the case. We did it. Peter Moylan, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Continue the good work on Bally. We'd love to have you on again. Thank you, my friend.
I'll be on whenever you have me. See you, boys.
There he is, Peter Moylan, well-dressed man, who admitted to the fault there on the radio. We got to the bottom. All right, coming up next, NFL fans learned this phrase 30 years ago.
Honey, hush.
And now it's college football fans' turn. They'll see if they know the phrase next.
Party people!
Chuck and Chernoff are on the fan. Thanks for hanging with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We will walk you right up to Braves and Astros. Ozzie Albies won't be walking onto the field tonight. Braves just announced they have put him on the 10-day injured list with a fractured right big toe after he got hit last night. So David Fletcher has been recalled, meaning the Braves will probably do some kind of a dance with Luis Guillorme, David Fletcher. I have not seen a lineup yet tonight, but I would imagine Michael Harris maybe bumps up to the two spot. It's not what you want, but again, we talk about it all the time. The depth will be fine. Guillorme and Fletcher will just be okay, and that's what you'll need to get Ozzie Albies back. He had the ice on the toe in the dugout last night. He still tried to play through it, but now he'll get a couple of weeks to rest that big toe. As I said, Chuck and Chernoff until 680 game day tonight, and then Ford leadoff show before first pitch at 8:10. So Chuck says NFL fans learned this phrase 3 decades ago, and now it's fans in college's turn.
Yeah, the phrase is, he's not really available. And I'm talking about free agency. And if you don't know free agency in the NFL, it was about 30 years ago. 1993 was the first time that, like, really any realistic form of free agency hit the NFL. And it was this really convoluted thing called Plan B where it was strange, but it was something. If you want to know what was before then, Walter Payton became a free agent 3 times in his career, and he never got a contract offer from another team. So that shows you what free agency was in the NFL, and then Plan B came along, and players like, hell yeah, and the owners are like, well, there's a catch, and they're like, we don't care, it's sort of free agency, and they're like, well, there's this thing called a franchise tag. So you think you're a free agent, but then we're going to tag you. And it took a few years, and then players are like, oh, I don't like the tag. Too bad. The tag's here, and the tag has never gone away. And so, Matt, you and I have been on the air before, and I still do this, I don't know, maybe one of the few times a year I act like a kid. I see that Alshon Jeffrey, remember, was going to be a free agent. I was like, yeah, Alshon Jeffrey. And you're like, he's not really available. Khalil Mack was going to be a free agent. I was like, yeah, sign Khalil Mack. You're like, Khalil Mack's not really available. That's referring to a pending free agent in the NFL who we all knew would be tagged and thus – not really available, folks. That's Caden Proctor in college football right now. I can't tell you how many, like, live portal trackers I've seen. And Caden Proctor is listed as the number one kid in the portal. Matt, he was at A-Day in Tuscaloosa Saturday, like fist bumping, hanging out with Nick Saban. He's already at Alabama. Not he's gonna go. He's there. So Louisville running back Penny Boone, he's in the portal right now. By the way, he just portaled from Toledo to Louisville in January. 4 months later, he's like, yeah, Penny out. So he's portaling again. Apparently, he may head back to Maryland, so he's not really available. Andrew Shambly, who, if you didn't see this, SEC all-freshman last year, started 8 games at left tackle as a redshirt freshman. About a month ago, Sam Pittman said he had, quote, lost the love of the game, was no longer with the team, was going to become a regular student. Andrew Shambles tweeted out that he's going to become a Kansas State Wildcat. Or but that's like, that's where it's under. There's somewhere where he's not. He didn't just quit football. He quit Arkansas football. And the fix is in. When I say the fix, if it was 5 years ago, ooh, who's Chuck accusing? No, the fix is in. Come here and you can have a Chevrolet endorsement. And a Chevrolet. So it has already developed, Matt. It took exactly 3 years of guys hitting the transfer portal. Oh, no. They're not really available. It's just blatant stuff now. Like Keon Coleman last year, was he really available or was he just going to Florida State the whole time? Now it's just kind of out there and everybody knows. Caden Proctor's like, oh, yeah, I'm leaving Iowa and I'm heading right back to Alabama.
Yeah, no, I think there's some certain situations that are a little different now that the transfer portal can be used as your leverage. Now, there's no collective bargaining agreement in college football, so the only leverage that you can come up with is, I'll put my name in the portal. That doesn't mean I have to leave my current situation, or I might have agreed to go somewhere else, but I'm just going to let everybody else know that I'm kind of available, even if I'm not. So that scenario is there. The other scenario is, and this is the new version of putting your name in the NFL draft or in the college basket or in the NBA draft. This used to be a thing that everybody would do. They would have this 3-week window. You can put your name in the draft. You can just go on a fact-finding mission, and the NBA will return where they think you'll slot. I think we're going to get to the point, Chuck, everybody's name's in the portal. There's going to be literally nothing to lose from putting your name in, fielding calls, seeing if something makes sense, using it as leverage for NIL. There are a million reasons to have your name in the portal. None of them might make you leave school, or you might already have agreed to go to another school, but again, there's nothing to lose with it. That's all it's going to be.
And folks, I live in the adult world. I don't think that big-time major programs that are trying to win national championships are following the rules of name, image, likeness. I just don't think that Ohio State waited until Caleb Downs was actually in the portal to – I mean, I don't. I don't think they're unique. Somebody was like, hey, Caleb, oh, I'm sorry. I heard you were in the portal. Whatever. When Nick Saban quit, every Alabama player looked around and was like, well, they let us portal. I might stay, but why don't I portal? Once Caleb Downs was in the portal, all of a sudden do you know how you get in the portal? You have to contact the compliance officer at your current school. That person then puts your personal contact information on screen. Like Caden Proctor said, do not contact. Like that's a hint and a half. I know where I'm going. They put your contact information up there for anybody who wants it and has access to the database. So, like, at that point, your own school has said, come sniff around Caleb Downs, even though Caleb's saying, hey, no. It's just procedural. I'm just going to see what this portal is about. And then the next thing you know, he's in C-Bus holding up the Scarlet and Gray.
One guy who's been very big on the portal so far is Deion Sanders of Colorado, and they've made no bones about it. Now Deion's on the record talking about the future of his two biggest stars, Shedeur Sanders' son and Travis Hunter. Deion said on the record he will allow Travis Hunter and Shedeur to play for the Eagles, the 49ers, the Cowboys, Commanders, Ravens, and the Falcons. Thankfully, Deion put the Falcons on the list. I love Prime as much as anybody. I'm trying to, like, and I don't want to go down a rabbit hole. He'll allow? What does that mean?
Deion's kind of living out in, like, it's off-season. It doesn't really matter if he's gray. I think that's what this is. And plus, he lives in Colorado. So.
Yeah. So if the Broncos draft one of the two kids, he's not going to allow them to
I'm
play.
Saying that depending on the time of day, you talk to a Colorado resident, and you start hearing utterances like this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So that you've heard the term drunk with power, maybe he's high with power.
Maybe. Matt, thank you. Maybe. Yeah.
All right, coming up next, we're not going to spill any tea. We are going to spill some juice.
Man juice.
Different juice. And a YouTuber has another fate on his hands, but this one isn't going to be in the ring.
They fighting over needles again?
Find out next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. An easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.